You'd think the price of something is just a simple math equation.
Right, just basic arithmetic.
Yeah,
Yeah.
exactly.
Yeah.
You add up the parts, you pay for the labor, slap on a little extra for profit, and boom, you've got your price tag.
It's clean.
It's logical, it's clean, and it's how most of us assume the world works. But we are looking at the motor coach industry today. Those massive 56-passenger buses hauling sports teams and wedding parties.
Oh, yeah, the backbone of group travel.
Right. And operators in this space are losing millions. And they're doing it because they trust their calculators a lot more than they trust human psychology. So today, for our deep dive, we are unpacking a really fascinating source document called The Scarcity Premium, Rethinking Value in the Motor Coach Industry.
And it really is just this fascinating contradiction, right?
Thanks, Holt.
You have this massive, essential sector of the transportation world where, honestly, for decades, operators have priced their services based almost entirely on what feels comfortable to their own internal accounting.
Like it's a safety blanket or something.
Exactly. Rather than looking at what the market actually dictates the service is worth, in real time, it's wild.
Okay, let's unpack this. Because whether you are managing a fleet of vehicles or you're just, someone who occasionally pays for a service, this is a literal masterclass in the psychology of value versus cost.
Oh, absolutely.
So to get to the bottom of why this happens, why they voluntarily leave so much money on the table, you have to kind of understand the psychology of a logistics professional, right?
Yeah, you really do. Think about the world these operators live in every single day.
It's high stress.
It is incredibly high stress. It's a world governed by hard, unforgiving variables. I mean, they are dealing with heavy machinery, commercial driver's licenses, strict Department of Transportation regulations.
Physical distance, traffic.
Exactly, weather, all of it. It is an industry built entirely on safety and predictability.
Right, because there's really no room for abstract thinking when you are moving 60 people down a highway at 70 miles an hour.
No, none at all. You want certainty. So when it comes time to set a price, these operators, well, they naturally gravitate toward a formula that feels just as tangible and safe as the buses themselves.
They want a concrete math problem.
They want a math problem they can solve.
And the traditional charter pricing formula gives them exactly that, doesn't it? It's essentially like this giant mathematical pot.
Yep, the good old pricing pot.
So you take the total miles of the trip, you add the hours the driver will be working, then you stir in the baseline driver costs, the current cost of diesel fuel, the physical wear and tear on the
There's a lot
vehicle.
of factor all that in.
Right. And then you add deadhead miles, which, for those listening, is when the bus is driving empty just to get to the pickup location.
Huge hidden costs there.
Yeah. And then you tack on overnight fees for the driver, road tolls, and finally, you just sprinkle in your standard profit margin, stir it all around, and the spreadsheet spits out a number.
And for the operator, looking at that spreadsheet, that number feels incredibly responsible.
It feels safe.
It feels defensible, right? Now, obviously, knowing your baseline costs is non-negotiable.
Yeah.
I mean, the source points this out clearly. If a business doesn't know what its fuel and labor cost, they aren't actually pricing anything.
What's the line from the text? Guessing with nicer paperwork.
Yes, they're just guessing with nicer paperwork. You cannot operate a fleet blind. But here is the massive trap hidden inside that comfortable little formula.
Weigh it on me.
It only tells the operator what the trip costs the business.
Okay.
It tells them absolutely nothing about what the trip is actually worth to the customer.
Okay, wait, but I have to play devil's advocate here for a second because the assumption behind that traditional formula is that a bus is just a bus, right?
Right. That's the
It's
mind.
a piece of equipment, and equipment has a static value. So why should the price change if the physical equipment doesn't? Like, it's not like the seats got softer.
Because the context around the equipment changes and context dictates value.
But doesn't that just feel, I don't know, like arbitrary price gouging? Let's take it out of the bus world for a second. Let's say I'm renting a massive industrial generator.
Okay, good example.
If the city's power grid is humming along perfectly fine, that generator is just a heavy metal box taking up space in a warehouse.
Just gathering dust.
Right. And you charge a standard rate just to cover the wear and tear of someone running it for a few hours.
Yeah.
But what happens during a massive, multi-day, citywide blackout?
Everything changes.
Suddenly, that exact same piece of equipment is a literal lifeline.
And the machine didn't change at all. The metal, the wiring, the fuel capacity, it's all identical.
Right. But if you just stick to your comfortable internal formula and only charge for like basic wear and tear during that blackout, you're actually doing something much worse than just leaving money on the table.
You're misallocating it.
Exactly. You're going to rent that generator to the very first person who calls, who, I don't know, might just want to power their living room TV while the hospital down the street desperately needed it to keep their lights on.
And they would have gladly paid 10 times your rate to ensure they got it.
Yes. You aren't just losing money, you are misallocating a critically scarce resource simply because you ignored the context.
That is a brilliant way to frame it, and it maps so perfectly onto the motor coach industry. The source gives this really powerful example.
Oh, the Tuesday versus Saturday thing?
Yes. Think about a specific bus on a slow Tuesday afternoon in February.
Okay.
It has 56 seats, a professional driver, clean tires, a spotless interior. On that random Tuesday, it has a baseline value.
Sure.
Now take that exact same coach and put it on a sold-out Saturday in May.
Which is crazy season for them.
In this industry, May is pure chaos. Every single high school is doing end-of-year field trips, college athletic departments are traveling for regional tournaments.
Everyone is getting married.
Exactly. Wedding planners are desperately trying to move hundreds of guests across town.
And on that Saturday, the value of that identical piece of equipment just absolutely skyrockets.
Vastly. The bus didn't change at all, the cup holders are the same, but the value did.
Right.
The problem is, because operators are so rigidly tied to their spreadsheet of miles and hours, they literally cannot capture that spike in value.
They're trapped by the math.
They quote the chaotic Saturday in May exactly the same way they quote the quiet Tuesday in February, simply because the physical miles driven on the route happen to be identical.
Which means we really need to look closer at what's actually happening in the buyer's head here.
Oh, the psychology of it is wild.
Because if the seats and the diesel fuel are exactly the same on Tuesday and Saturday, what is the customer actually paying a premium for?
Well, there's that famous Warren Buffett quote from the text, "Price is what you pay, value is what you get."
Classic.
Right. And when you apply that to moving large groups of people, it completely reframes the whole transaction. These operators, they think they're selling diesel miles and empty seats.
But they're not.
They really aren't. They're selling intangible, highly emotional states.
Like certainty. Think about the bride who is just terrified. Her out-of-town relatives are going to get lost on some back road and completely miss the ceremony.
Or the university athletic director. They absolutely cannot have the championship basketball team arriving late to the stadium because of a breakdown.
Or the corporate meeting planner. I mean, that person is dealing with an immense amount of pressure.
Oh, the stress levels are off the charts.
They have 600 attendees to manage. The keynote speaker's flight is somehow delayed. The caterer is missing half the order.
They have 19 other massive fires burning all at once.
Exactly. So when they book a motor coach, they aren't buying a vehicle. They're buying the absolute ironclad guarantee that transportation will not become fire number 20.
They are paying for calm. They're paying for peace of mind.
Okay, wait. I have to ask a pointed question here on behalf of you listening. Because something isn't quite tracking for me.
Okay, what is it?
So, what does this all mean for the customer? If I am that incredibly stressed out wedding planner, I still have a budget to hit, right?
Right, everyone has a budget.
So doesn't a lower price always make a motor coach company easier to buy from? I mean, who doesn't love saving money?
What's fascinating here is that the text gives a completely counterintuitive answer to that. The answer is no.
Wait, really?
Really, the psychology of high-stakes logistics works in the exact opposite way you'd think. For a critical move, a championship game, a massive corporate summit, a once-in-a-lifetime wedding, the cheapest option on the table does not feel like a bargain to the buyer.
It feels like a catch.
It feels like a massive risk. It triggers doubt.
Because you're thinking, what am I missing?
Precisely. If you are responsible for a move where failure is literally not an option, and one company quotes you a price that is drastically lower than the rest of the market, your brain immediately goes into threat detection mode.
You start asking, like, why are they so cheap?
Are they running 20-year-old equipment? Are they skipping basic maintenance?
Is the driver even going to show up on time?
Right. If an operator has an impeccable safety record, meticulously maintained coaches, highly trained drivers, but they price their service like a cheap, interchangeable commodity,
Yeah.
they aren't just being underpaid by the market, they are under asking.
Under asking. I love that term.
Yes, you're actively signaling to the market that you aren't worth a premium. And the crazy irony is, by trying to be budget-friendly, you actually scare away the high-value clients who desperately want to pay top dollar for absolute reliability.
You create this huge disconnect in the buyer's mind between the quality you're promising and the price you command.
Exactly.
But man, that puts the operator in a really tough spot. Because if value is constantly fluctuating based on, you know, context and trust and the day of the week, how do you actually implement dynamic pricing without just completely alienating your relationship-based clients?
That is the big fear.
Right. Because if I am a loyal, long-term customer and you suddenly double my rate just because it's a busy weekend, I'm going to feel like I'm getting cheated.
It's a very real concern, and it's exactly why the source says operators have to clearly distinguish between two types of trips, a trip that fills space and a trip that consumes scarcity.
Okay, break that down for me. Fills space versus consumes scarcity.
So filling space is when an operator takes a booking for an empty spot on that quiet Tuesday in February we talked about.
Right.
The inventory is just sitting there. You need to keep your drivers working and the wheels turning just to cover your overhead so you offer your standard, highly competitive rate.
Just normal business.
Normal business. But consuming scarcity, on the other hand, is when a client wants your absolute last available coach on the busiest Saturday in May. Or it's a really complex multi-day itinerary that pulls three of your most experienced drivers completely out of the rotation and requires your dispatchers to work overtime just to coordinate it.
So the physical wear on the bus might be the same, but the toll on the business's overall operational capacity is huge.
Exactly. And dynamic pricing done well shouldn't feel like a trap door where the floor just disappears beneath the customer.
Right. No bait and switch.
Exactly. It should feel like common sense. High demand, low availability, and high operational complexity naturally command a higher price.
Here's where it gets really interesting, though, because there is this specific anecdote from the text about how desperate customers actually are to consume that scarcity.
Oh, the go-away price story. I love this one.
It's so good. So an operator gets a call for a trip they really, really do not want to do.
Just a total nightmare routing.
Right. It's a nightmare routing. It's right in the middle of their prime busy season, and it's just going to cause absolute chaos for the dispatchers. Normally, they just politely say no.
Pass on the work.
But this time, instead of saying no, the operator decides to dramatically increase the rate. They take their standard formula, multiply it, tack on all these massive surcharges to make the inconvenience worthwhile, and send it over.
Figuring, hey, they'll never accept this, but if they do, we're making a fortune.
Exactly. They think they're scaring the customer off. But less than an hour later, the customer calls back, and they aren't complaining about the price.
Not at all.
They just say, thanks for the quote. Do you happen to have three buses available?
It is such a revealing moment for the industry. Why did that happen?
Because they needed it done.
Right. The customer wasn't buying the operator's internal spreadsheet. They were buying availability. They were buying a solution.
They were paying for the privilege to stop searching when everyone else in the market was too slow or already full or just too afraid to ask for what the move was actually worth.
Yes. The market is constantly sending these signals, begging operators to adjust their pricing.
What kind of signals are we talking about?
Selling out your entire fleet 6 months in advance.
Right. If you're sold out in November for May, you're too cheap.
Exactly. That is a blaring siren of a signal. Or having to turn away incredibly profitable, easy work because you already filled your buses with low-margin, high-stress trips months ago.
Ouch.
Or taking jobs that cause absolute chaos for your dispatchers. Those are all market signals screaming that the value of your service is not always the same.
But here's the reality check, right? Recognizing these market signals manually is exhausting.
Oh, it's completely unsustainable.
I mean, expecting a sales rep who might be fielding 50, quote, requests a day to manually recognize and calculate all those signals in real time, it's impossible.
It really is.
You're basically asking a human being to be a mathematician, a fortune teller, and a therapist all before lunch.
Which is exactly why they just default back to the comfortable spreadsheet. It's safe.
So how do modern operators actually operationalize this mindset shift without just burning their staff out completely?
Well, if we connect this to the bigger picture, this is where we have to talk about the role of technology.
And we're not just talking about, like, getting a new app.
No, it's not tech for the sake of tech. It's about implementing a living system that understands historical demand, real-time fleet availability, strict driver constraints.
Because drivers can only drive so many hours legally.
Exactly. The hours of service regulations are very strict, but most importantly, the tech calculates opportunity cost.
Ah, opportunity cost.
It's everything. If a customer wants to book a cheap local transfer on a Friday night, the software knows that taking that low-margin job might prevent the company from using that exact same bus for a highly profitable 3-day trip that starts early Saturday morning.
A human looking at a calendar might just book it to fill the space.
Exactly. But the technology flags it. It puts the operators back in control of their own value.
Which brings me to the tech's most powerful takeaway.
Yeah.
And this is a massive shift in mindset.
It really is.
Price is not discovered. Price is decided.
Yes.
Operators have to stop acting like archaeologists, digging around in a rigid rate sheet, hoping to discover the right price. They have to stop letting old formulas make new market decisions.
Because if you don't confidently decide your price, the most bargain-hunting customer in your market will decide it for you.
And that's just a race to the bottom.
Absolute race to the bottom.
So, to wrap this all up for you listening, the motor coach industry is leaving massive amounts of money on the table by pricing for their own comfort rather than market reality. A service is worth what the right customer, with the right need, at the right time, is willing to pay for peace of mind.